he just came on and said nothing? You know.
Some people might like it.
For an hour.
You think we could pull it off?
I mean.
Just let the music play.
Just let the music play. Exactly.
Turn it up.
Turn her up. Turn that music up. Turn that up. Ah, it is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker.
On
the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet. You probably know that by now. You also probably know the Jays lost 13-0 to the Tampa Bay Rays.
They had them right where they wanted them.
They had them right where they wanted them in the first inning when they actually managed to get two runners in base. And then, why am I even talking about that? It has nothing to do with what happened in the game. The Jays bullpen again.
Could have changed.
Huh?
Could have changed. One of them two guys, Turner or Varsho, got a hit.
Yeah.
But a couple dudes on base against a really good pitcher,
maybe.
That could have been a different kind of game.
Yeah, not really. 13-0 Tampa Bay beating the Jays. Rays got it started early. It is 6:10 Eastern, so Brandon Lau's home run should be landing in about another 5 minutes. His first inning home run, 414 feet off of Chris Bassett into the 500 level. I think that's, I can't remember the last time anybody hit a ball into the
Well, if you'd have watched me when I was here playing for the Jays
that was
5 o'clock.
That was batting practice.
You would have seen a ton of those.
That was batting practice.
Okay?
That doesn't count.
A ton.
And then the Jays bull. I mean, look, Taj Bradley's really good. The Jays were no hit after that first inning after getting a couple of hits. The Jays bullpen, which is the worst in baseball, is even
it's
worse.
Embarrassing.
Is even worser after today, giving up 9 earned runs. Trevor Richards. I don't know if anybody's ever pitched himself off the trade block before. I'm trying to think. But
I'm sure it's happened.
Oh, I'm sure it has happened. Trevor Richards Trevor Richards has given up 15 earned runs in his last 8 outings. That covers 6 innings. His ERA at that point, I know ERAs and everything, small sample size, relievers,
unless
yada, yada, et cetera, but work with me on this. His ERA was 2.44 8 outings ago. It is now 4.83.
They abused him.
Well, yeah,
like I feel for him. I've said this
I do too.
The last couple of weeks. I mean, he went from being really, really good to being abused, pitching in the first inning for a couple of innings to the fourth inning, the sixth inning, the seventh inning, the eighth inning, the ninth, like uncle. Like I mean, you can't much blame him. You're trying to sort of aim change ups, and you're having to, you know, be on point with arm speed, and when you don't have a high octane velocity and you're trying to stay away from you know, certain counts and get into good pitchers' leverage counts so you can use the changeup. Now guys are looking for the changeup, and you don't throw very hard, and you're starting to elevate it because you're worn out. That's what that looks like.
Yeah, and, Ryan Burr, what are we talking about here? Ryan Burr comes into the game. I mean, John Schneider's basically at this point, they're just running guys out there. Ryan Burr, who's been decent, comes in, wasn't decent. Nate Pearson,
walking a guy in with the bases loaded. I wonder how long you're going to let a 6 ERA guy do that at the big league level.
I mean,
explain that to me.
Yeah, there's not a lot of options floating
around. Who cares? It's the big leagues.
But anyhow.
I played on some stinky teams when I was in the show. You know what happened to me when I stopped?
Yeah, but that's different.
I was in the minor leagues.
That's different.
How's it different?
That's different because you didn't have a pitching lab and your spin rate wasn't tremendous. And
that's a fair point.
Couldn't
hook me up to a big giant computer and fix me overnight.
I'm sure there's something somebody sees in Nate Pearson there. Anyhow, TV's joining us. Thanks
for
that.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Actually, I'm surprised that the guys in the Jamie and Madison didn't get us over here quicker so they could finish talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
416-413-3959 is the back leg line. Your chance to leave questions, comments, preferably about the game. I know y'all want Ross Atkins fired. I get it. But maybe we can give out an award if somebody can call up and talk about anything else and firing Ross Atkins. 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. 590-590 is the text line. Standard message and data rates may apply. And we'll go to John Schneider's post-game availability in a minute. You think John drops an F-bomb today? I mean, he has in the past.
This is predictable. Who they were facing, who they had on the mound, like it's predictable.
Jay and Regina, you're on Blue Jay. Oh, what am I saying? It's not even Jay and Regina. Go called up the back leg line.
Well, you're on a roll.
I am on a roll.
Just a quick question with Mason Miller fracturing his finger today. What does that do potentially for the value of Jimmy Garcia and company that the Jays are trying to unload at the deadline. Yeah, I would just love to know your thoughts on that. I would think that it probably would increase Garcia's value with that injury to Mason Miller. Thanks, gentlemen. All the best.
And Jay's talking about Mason Miller. The Oakland Athletics broke the pinky finger, but it's not in his throwing hand. It's on his glove hand. He is, of course, he's one of the prized
absolutely
pitchers on the market. There's a little bit of, I don't think it'll matter. I mean, I think if you're interested in Mason Miller, you'll still take a shot at him.
Yeah.
You're not just getting Mason Miller for this year. You know, there's another story that broke. There's another story that broke today. John Heyman reporting that Garrett Crochet, who is considered the pitcher on the market, he and his agents are telling acquiring teams that for him to pitch in October, which is why you think you'd be getting him, the acquiring team is going to have to give him a contract extension,
wow.
Which is not unusual. I mean, Scott Boras has done that in the past with guys. Garrett Crochet is, is sort of morphing into a starting pitcher. He's on a bit of a pitch limit. So I completely get his point of view. This is the way the Chicago White Sox were handling him. They put him on had him on an innings limit. So whoever gets him, Garrett Crochet, and his agents want an extension. And
could that impact
the market? Possibly. But in terms of Jimmy Garcia, yeah, listen, I've kind of thought the two guys that are definitely gone are Jimmy Garcia and Yusei Kikuchi. Mm-hmm. One, because you tend to get more for pitchers at the trade deadline than you do. But I'm not certain. I'm not certain Mason Miller and Jimmy Garcia are viewed in the same way.
No.
By teams.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Jimmy goes to a really good team. They probably already have a ninth inning guy, right?
Correct.
So he's coming in to be the hybrid dude that's going to get, maybe come in the sixth inning and get the last out, maybe come back and pitch the seventh inning, something like that, right? He's not always going to be the eighth and ninth inning. So, I wouldn't think that would change anything. I mean, there is no and company for me. I know the caller said Jimmy and company. I guess maybe he's talking about Chad Green. I mean, Trevor Richards. Yeah, I'm not sure who would want Trevor Richards anymore.
Somebody may take a shot at Trevor. You're not going to get anything for Trevor Richards anyhow. Just because Trevor Richards was pitching pretty responsible innings for the Blue Jays, that doesn't mean that the acquiring team viewed Trevor Richards in that same way. I don't think anybody.
Well, the changeup has to be good.
I don't think anybody
get out lefties. Has he been doing that in a bazillion weeks? No. So
no,
that would
be
the reason why. It has nothing to do with what inning he's going to throw in and how many innings he'd be throwing. Is he going to be an opener? It wouldn't be any of that. He'd be pitching sixth and seventh inning, but the changeup would have to be working. The velocity on the fastball would have to be consistent, and where the located stuff with the fastball would have to be on point. What have you seen?
But again,
anytime, because you need them dudes to hit the ground running, right? It's not working.
Yeah, again, though, you weren't getting. You weren't getting a great deal for Trevor.
You're
for
not.
Trevor
you're
Richards
get,
anyhow.
You're
if
gonna,
anything,
yeah.
you're going to get somebody's. You know what? Instead of getting somebody's 10th best prospect now, you'll probably get somebody's 15th best prospect.
Maybe
that's about it.
Maybe.
I mean, that's
he's really
no
been struggling, Jeff. He's really been struggling.
Well, yeah, he can't get anybody out.
So why would I want to get? Why would I want him?
Well, because baseball team, they get a guy in and we can fix him. But yeah, look, Trevor Richards' trade value now is nowhere what it was.
I hope they trade him to a good team because he deserves it. I mean, he's done a lot. He's been a soldier for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
He's done everything.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have abused
him. They have worn him out, boy. So do him a solid.
You know, the great puzzling thing about this year continues to be why the Blue Jays just haven't, why they haven't addressed their bullpen.
It's mind-boggling.
It's
truly
shocking.
Mind-boggling.
They've done it before, and I'm sorry, I don't consider Brandon Little or Ryan Burr to be addressing bullpen issues. You're going to have to do it at some point. For next year, you weren't going to bring, you had three guys that weren't coming back for next year. I just don't understand why this front office has forced John Schneider and Pete Walker to run this, out all year. And that's not, It's not the pitcher's fault. It's not Ryan Burr. Ryan Burr is what he is. Brandon Little is what he is. They're getting the ball. They're going out and pitching. They're just not very good. I mean, you know, maybe there's something there. You know, everybody keeps telling me, you keep telling me that there's something there with Little. Maybe, but I see the same thing over and over again. One good outing, one bad outing. Let's go to John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays. This ought to be interesting.
John, a game like that at this point of the year, do you want to flush it, or is that something that you want to grab onto and talk about certain things with?
I think there's certain things to talk about. For one, Bradley's really good. You know, Taj is having a great year, and he didn't make many mistakes. You know, two hits come in the first three hitters. But I think just on the mound, you know, it's 3-0 in the sixth, and, you know, it ends up like that. So I think, you know, we got to just put our focus and energy on making better pitches, limiting walks. I think that's what you take out of today, and you got to make those adjustments going forward.
Mm. With some of the relievers who are struggling lately, are you seeing anything tying that together, anything similar or something that really stands out with
these? Yeah, it's command, you know, not getting ahead of hitters, being in the zone too much when you are ahead, and you know, I've said that before. It's tough to have success when you're doing those two things. So I think those are the common denominators.
Just on Trevor specifically, have you been seeing anything different from him compared to where he was at the start of the year?
Yeah, he's like the poster boy. When he gets ahead, he's really good and has been good for us, you know, for a while, especially early in the year. Doesn't really have a good feel for his changeup right now. That's pretty telling. And I think, you know, when you got two pitches, you got to be on with one of them. So his command is kind of, you know, coming and going right now. And when you're falling behind and you have to make a pitch, you know, that's kind of what happens. But that's for Trev, for everyone, really, you know, getting ahead is really, really important. And that's kind of where he's at right now.
Getting the feel for the changeup back, is that something that he just has to kind of pitch through, or is there things that he can do that to help him get back there?
Yeah, I mean, it's reps, you know, but it's work, you know, and when you're throwing, when you're not in a game, you know, it's getting off the mound and getting that feel back a little bit. It's a great pitch, you know, it's been a great pitch for him for a long time. So I think, you know, getting the feel back for that is going to be big.
Just in the ninth inning, what was the conversation with Ernie to get him into the game?
He kind of, you know, he understands that. He's done it before. Just, you know, hey, we need an inning out of you, you know, with where we are right now. He was good with it, flashed a good knuckleball tonight, and, you know, mixed in pretty good sneaky heater there. But he gets it, you know. He understands that's part of the deal sometimes. Didn't take much convincing, you know. There is an art to doing that, really. You have to be kind of – you got to have some good feel. Ernie's good at it. So, you know, we appreciate – we as a coaching staff, guys in the bullpen, they appreciate the inning.
And we're not used to seeing KK in right field. What went into that?
He had to go in for an inning, and, you know, we told him that around the seventh if it ended up that way. And he just wanted to, you know, cross that off the bucket list, I guess, if you will. He hasn't done that in, I think, close to 10 years. But I said, hey, you're going to go to center. He said, I can go to right. And I said, okay, you can go to right. He looked great.
So that was his decision?
We talked about it, you know, and he said, hey, I can go out and right. You know, so, you trust Kev in the outfield. So he's probably trying to help Dalton out in center field a little bit, too, for that gold glove.
John, you mentioned their starter off the top, Bradley. Like when you look at him as a young starter, what do you see? What makes him good?
He tunnels, you know, the fastball and split really well off one another. His velo is a little bit better than it was in the last couple of times we had seen him, and the split is a really good pitch. You know, he was basically those two pitches today. You know, you have the cutter and curve, but you know, going into it, I thought he landed his curveball fairly well today compared to his last couple outings. But the splitter was kind of the equalizer today. It was in the zone, and it was a really good pitch. And same arm, you know, same delivery. It's coming out of the same spot. You know, it makes it tough.
Just as far as the relievers, back to that, you've said multiple times over the last month and change, at some point they're just going to have to start getting people out.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you guys can do other than continue to give them opportunities and – tell them you got to get some people out?
Yeah, I mean, discussions, we have them every day. You know, Pete and Jeff and Dave, they have them all the time with the relievers. And, you know, it was disappointing today. You looked, you know, you don't want to say guys were, you know, games like that are tough, you know, but you still have to, no matter what the situation is, it's Major League Baseball and you have to execute pitches. And, you know, conversations will continue to happen, you know, where it's, you know, you have to, you know, try to locate everything no matter what the situation is. And you know, they're going to keep getting opportunities, you know, based on, you know, how our team is constructed with guys in the bullpen. So it's, you know, it's a time to make adjustments, I think, for a few, you know, certain guys. And, you know, every pitch is very delicate. You got to really, really be executing at a very, really high level, especially in this division.
Well, there you go. Lots of questions about why Kevin Kiermaier is in right field in the 13-0 game.
Bucket list.
And Ernie Clement pitching.
Yeah, I mean, he did a good job by saying his pen stinks. I mean, he circled the wagon. It's a, yeah, the bullpen's not good enough. Like, the quality of stuff that they're running out on an everyday basis,
it's just not good.
It's embarrassing. You've been saying this for a month
just
now.
It's not a major. It's not a major league caliber.
It
bullpen.
Is not. And for John to have to come on and answer them questions the way he has to answer them when the expectations were where they were at with this team and this organization, he did a good job. I got to give him credit. I mean, however you feel about John, he ain't throwing his players under the bus, and boy, he sure could. I mean, dudes are walking people in with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
It's a big league. Nate Pearson's been around long enough to know better.
Yeah, and at that point, the game is over. Throw some strikes, dude. The game's lost. Throw some strikes.
Got to be a standard somewhere, don't they?
It was not a good show. 9 runs given up by the bullpen today. The trade deadline is coming up, obviously, but I'm just going to say this. If they trade Jimmy Garcia and Chad Green, you're going to see a whole hell of a lot more of the Ryan Burrs of the world. And man. You know, that's – we talk about the trade deadline, and everybody wants to get something for everybody, and I get all that, but, you know, sweet Jesus, somebody's got to get somebody out at some point. I mean, they just have to. And
John was right. It's 3-0 in the sixth inning.
I'm terrified about, you know, just think about this bullpen. Think about what will be left. You know, and I would say, well, there's people, you know, there's minor league free agents or whatever you can add or whatever. But I mean, this organization seems to, I don't know. I don't know if they don't seem to be particularly motivated to do anything to address this bullpen. And you know what? One of the things I do know, man, when you're a baseball team that's not really good, and that's what this team is not really good, there's nothing worse than a crap bullpen.
Yeah.
Because that turns those 9-0 games into 13-0 very fast.
Yep.
416-413-3959 is the back leg line. 590-590 is the text line. Standard message and data rates may apply. Let's go to Chris Bassett because he quite often has something to say. Quite often.
You can do it.
Somebody ask a question.
Those are tough games for you guys as a team. As a starting pitcher, when you're watching the bullpen give up those kind of runs, anything go through your mind?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just going 5 innings, that would be the big thing.
What was the battle that you were only able to get through 5?
Not sharp. Yeah, it's not sharp.
When the Rays are putting that many runs up on the board, difficult is it to keep in the dugout the energy level, the kind of, the motivation just to kind of keep going as opposed to just thinking, well, you know what, this is over?
I would say there's a lot of so-called demons that a lot of people are fighting right now between – I was here today, what's going on, just, it is what it is. It's got to be grown-ups and put a better effort forward.
How much of a feeling is it among the group that, you know,
this is not what we signed up for. This is a team that we thought would be challenging.
Yeah, I would say there's not a single person in probably the whole organization that's not really disappointed right now. It just sucks. I don't think anyone thought this is what's going to happen.
Chris, what did you mean by demons?
I mean, everything that's going on, being down 12-0, being down 5-0, whatever it may be, giving up that many hits, not being able to hit, the trade deadline, who's going to be here, who's not going to be here. There's a million different things right now that are just not great. But, yeah, it is what it is.
How is the team kind of dealing with the possibility that you will be saying goodbye to some of your teammates that you've had here for a long time?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, I don't think the possibility. I think it's just, when is it going to happen, so to speak? And it's not fun. Obviously, you have ideas who's not going to be around much longer, and a lot of those people mean a lot to you. So, yeah, it's just not fun.
Who is most of the blame fall on?
I don't think there's one person with clean hands right now. I really don't. I don't think we've done anything well this year. So, yeah, maybe. Farsho's defense. I guess I can kind of say he's definitely done his part. Should have won a platinum glove this year, by the way. Should have won it last year. Yeah. Besides Farsho's defense, I don't see how anyone can think, yeah, I've done what I should.
Well, now I may just suggest we should just replay that for the next half mm-hmm. hour.
Well, it's good to hear somebody else say it other than us.
Yeah.
It is.
I will miss Chris Bassett when and if he's traded because he is another guy who's fundamentally incapable of being dishonest. And that, folks, pretty much, I think, sums up what you saw today. 13-0, the Jays losing to the Tampa Bay Rays. Love that line from Chris Bassett. There's a lot of demons in that dugout right now. Unfortunately, none of those demons seem to be able to hit, which is
yeah, you mentioned effort too, which is, you know, when you start talking effort with a team that's not where everybody thought they should be.
I don't know how I don't know how a front office can hear that from a veteran guy, and well, I get that Chris Bassett is stepping up and assuming and saying everybody's at fault. I do not know how a front office can hear that and not give its head a shake and
do everything they can do to fix it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it. You know, if they're capable of fixing it.
That's fair too. I mean, the one thing you remember about
like
Chris
I'm just going to say this because I mean I've covered a lot of baseball, I've covered a lot of crap baseball. That hearing that from Chris Bassett, if you are a Jays fan or somebody who cares about the team, that is really
exactly what you want to hear.
Well,
it was me. I mean, I could.
Well, yeah, I'm glad to hear it, but hearing it makes you. That suggests that there's something deeply, 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 deeply wrong with.
Well, I think we knew that going into the offseason. I mean, with what the GM was speaking about the manager and
even
the offseason. Yeah, we knew this. We knew this already.
No, that this
well,
is,
you knew
that,
all you knew that something
beyond,
was.
This is beyond that because even back then we were thinking, well, this team's pitching and defense would keep it in. If this team's pitchers are at the point now where they're basically running up the white flag, they got real issues. Like, that's the one thing this team could hang its hat on, is its pitching. And it can't now. Bullpen is not good.
Sure seemed to me like he seems to think that there's going to be multiple people getting traded.
Well, I mean, maybe, I guess. You know, more than anything else, I took away that Chris Bassett, that there's been a lot of talk about who's going to be traded.
Sure has.
But part of the reason is because for the past, look, these guys aren't idiots. I'm sure for the past 2 months, they've been looking around and talking to themselves and going, Jesus, we're not very good.
No.
Like, are they going to do anything? Is anybody awake upstairs? Are they just going to let us sit here and twist? which is basically what they've done. They've just basically hung this team out to dry is what they've done. And yeah, I think that's what you're hearing from Chris Bassitt is, you know, this is, we go back through scorebook. Look at the scores. 9-2 loss, 7-1 loss. 9-2 loss. I mean, 8-1. This team's not very good. And those guys know that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that I'm sure that as much as it's getting old for us, it's got to be worse for the players. Those guys are living that. And yeah, they're getting paid. They're getting paid good money, but they're still living it.
Yeah.
416-413-3959 is the back leg line. 590-590 is a text line. Standard message and data rates apply. Mm. Let's take a break and come back and go back to the back leg line, back to the text line as well. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet. All right, welcome back to Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet. Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker. We will be back tomorrow from 4 to 6 Eastern with Blair and Barker. Barker's off. You're awfully happy. You're almost, you know what? You're almost at that point as a media personality where when things are going badly, you kind of become, when things are going poorly, you kind of become happy.
No, that's not it. I'm a guy that likes to break things down and you know, look at the little things that could make a player better.
Jack in Montreal. I will just move on. Jack in Montreal reached out on the back leg line.
Do you think that there's going to be any coach firing at this point in time, either before the deadline or before the end of the season? Or you think that if there's a change in coaches, that it's going to come only next year?
I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, it doesn't look good, obviously, but I don't know. I don't detect a sense of urgency.
I would be very interested to see what happens to the GM after the trade deadline, after everything's settled and,
yeah,
sort of. I'm assuming that the president's going to come out and speak either to us or whoever he's going to come out and have an interview with. Obviously, the questions will have to be answered, because if he comes on this show, we're going to have to ask that. That will be the first step. If something was to happen with that part of it, then I'm assuming if they're going to go different ways with, say, 17 of the different hitting coaches, then that's probably the way it'll end up.
Let's go to our text board, if we could. 590-590 is the text line standard. Message and data rates apply. This is from Mike in Victoria. Am I the only one thinking we should re-sign Garcia and trade Romano in the summer? Well, he's hurt, so I don't know if he'd be trading in the summer. Romano's a depreciating asset. Looking ahead, we will need a closer next year. Yeah, no. Jimmy Garcia is a free agent. He's not coming back next year.
He's 33 years old.
33 years old. Can Jimmy Garcia close for a contending team, which the Jays want to be next year? I don't think he can close for a contending team. I think he's a nice guy in the seventh or eighth inning. Do not be misled by the fact that he's been forced into a different situation with this team. So, short answer, no. No. Yeah. And to me, Jordan Romano, you hope he comes in spring training and is healthy, and you hope that...
Yeah, they don't have a closer.
You hope
that's
me. Yeah, I'm with you. You know what? Maybe Jordan Romano becomes Jimmy Garcia, but I think at this point, you can add closer to one of the things this organization has to look for.
No brainer.
Let's go to Paul in Summerside, PEI. He also reached out in the tech line. It is text line. Should the Jays pick up James Paxton off waivers?
Yes.
My answer would be, why the hell not?
Absolutely. Anything to keep an extra arm out of the pen from not throwing in a game.
Pretty much.
Absolutely.
And we got back to this. You say Kikuchi will be traded. Yariel Rodriguez has to be handled a little bit. Alec Manoah is not around. Ricky Tiedemann's going for a 19th opinion in his elbow or something like that. So, I mean, there's nothing down in – I don't think there's anything down in the minor leagues of consequence. Somebody's going to have to pitch some innings. So if you trade Kikuchi, I think you have to bring someone else in here. And then if you trade Kikuchi and Bassitt And boy, I got to say this. First person after the trade deadline I want to talk to is Chris Bassett. If Chris Bassett isn't traded, if Chris Bassett isn't traded at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
I mean.
He's not going to talk to us.
Well.
No, he's not going to talk to us.
He kind of. Chris basically sounds like a guy who is with. He's too classy to come out and say, get my ass out of here. But he's kind of saying that I sure as hell wouldn't mind getting my ass out of here.
Well, he did the last time he spoke about the
wanting to pitch in the playoffs.
Well, so he did already. He just said it in a different way.
I suppose. John in Niagara Falls reached out on the back leg line.
This is a trade deadline coming up. Now people are talking about Atkins getting fired and so on and so forth. Now, should we be allowing him with the intent that he may be getting fired? Should we be letting him make some of these trades?
Yeah. Other than the Bo and Vladdy one, yeah. the other, me and Jeff could do the other
ones. Yeah, we could do the other ones.
Absolutely.
Like, seriously.
And Vladdy one, absolutely not. But the other ones, sure. Yeah. Like,
I mean, have
that. Pick
it.
A phone up and say, I'll take three of those. No problem.
Again, I think it's – I'm hoping people are prepared for – a whole bunch of, Steve Pierce for Santiago Espinal deals. You're probably not going, the Jays aren't going to come out of this trade deadline with, four organizations' top prospects. They're just not. I'm not entirely, frankly, I'm not certain that this trade deadline is going to completely shift things around for the Blue Jays in 2025. Maybe they get some useful pieces. Again, I go back to this. You're going to hear this a lot from us and from other people going up to the trade deadline. Remember when the Jays got Teoscar Hernandez? He was the 10th rated prospect in the Astros. Nobody thought he was going to amount to anything. He was the end in the trade the Jays made with the Houston Astros, and he turned into a guy who had, 6 years here with a ton of home runs. Mm. So that, to me, is what you're going to see. You're going to be keeping an eye on who the and is in these trades. And I'm with Kevin. As long as they're not doing the complicated stuff, let Ross have at it.
Well, Jeff Blair could trade them.
you do have in Mark Shapiro, a guy who made one of the most consequential trades of all time when he was with the Cleveland, the Cleveland Indians, when he traded Bartolo Colon to the Montreal Expos for Grady Sizemore, mm-hmm. Cliff Lee, Brandon Phillips, and Lee
Stevens.
I'm sure
he'll be part of this, too. I'm sure it'll be a collection of people. Yeah, sure.
Dan in Calgary.
When the guys come up from the minors, make their major league debuts, they're hitting like crazy, like guys like Schneider, Horowitz, they've all started out great. And then after a few months, a year, in the big leagues with the Jays, their batting seems to drop off. Just curious how you think about this. Thanks, guys.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because my friend Mr. Barker here made the point earlier this year about the Jays acquire Brandon Belt. Brandon Belt is the best hitter for much of the year.
Yep.
The Jays acquired Justin Turner. He starts out like a house on fire here. Best hitter. So the two guys coming from outside the organization, both of them, in the case of Justin Turner, he hit a bump, but Justin Turner is also 39 years old. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
And my friend Mr. Barker's point has always also been, why do the slumps last so long with this organization? And, that's, again, a guy like Davis Schneider, I hate to say it, Davis Schneider may just be a guy. He might be a nice piece off the bench. I think we tend to get carried away because this team was so bad. Davis Schneider came up and hit some home runs, and we all of a sudden thought he's the next thing. Mm-hmm. Now, what I will say is I would like someone to get Spencer Horowitz, kidnap him, and tell him and ask him to give the secret about how he's able to take what he was doing in AAA and continue here, because he is the one guy that I think has come up and has kind of been the guy we thought he was going to be.
I'll give you the obvious answer. He's left-handed. That's the first thing. Most of the people you face at the big league level are right-handed. That slider down and away, that fastball away. Schneider got a bunch of fastballs that were hittable today, a bunch. And for whatever reason, he's got big, giant.
You said he looked like he changed his.
Yeah, he looks different. He looks different now. Like, it's just almost basically every time he swings, misses, walks away, comes back, his swing looks different. His approach looks different. His stance looks different. Like, sooner or later, you got to find one you're married to and master that one. And it just, it's like the whole thing. When's the lineup, especially these young guys, consistently going to be able to hit the heater? That is the other part of this that's a little mind-boggling. That you would think you could flip it to dudes, because at this level, the breaking balls are like nobody's business. Like, you just are overwhelmed by the break, where they can throw it, how it looks like a fastball. That's the big adjustment. That's what the caller's talking about. Is that's the big thing, is once they find out you can hit a certain pitch, then they start pitching a little backwards and trying to set that pitch up with other pitches. And normally that's something that's spinning, and they're going to force you to put those balls in play with some authority. And that's the big time adjustment. But once you make an adjustment to that, either trying to lay off of it, why are you missing consistently fastballs?
Especially, I don't understand that. I don't understand how young guys in particular can feel frisky.
You can understand why Turner, 39, don't like the elevated fastball. Sure. Like, a lot of people don't, but he really don't. A little bit of that's like you lose fast twitch muscles and you just lose when the foot hits the ground. Like, you're seeing now, he's a little stabby with the front foot. I got to get out there and get it. And then they flip it to him and he looks a little awkward sometimes when he takes a swing. And that's why, you know, sometimes you go 5 for 7 and then he'll fall off a cliff. He's got an excuse. And then there's everybody else. I mean, where's Danny Jansen? Is he hurt? You have any idea where Danny Jansen went? It's amazing. Like, I mean, again, they either the model that the Khakis have just is not working, or whatever the hitting coaches are telling them is just Varsho don't like the heater. Danny Jansen all of a sudden don't like the heater. Schneider don't like the heater. Like, those are three young enough guys that should be destroying velocity and have to adjust to everything else, not the other way around. It's like the first inning when Varsho faced Bradley. You knew he's getting fastballs, yeah. And he got the 0-1 fastball basically center cut, swung through it, and then you knew he was going to get him out with an elevated fastball. Like, everybody that watches him hit knew that. Why is he missing a good fastball in the middle of the plate consistently? Just think if he ever figured out how to hit that thing the way he plays defense, then you'd be cooking with gravy. But it's just a big enough sample size of them falling off a cliff offensively. But man, that's the one thing that if somebody's got, obviously they don't have an answer for that, or they'd have fixed it already.
No,
there's too many of them that fall off cliffs forever. Poor little Danny Jansen. Look, he got no chance.
It was like, what did I say the other day? He's hit like one home run and, did I say, two or three doubles since for a while.
I mean, I'm not in the room. I have no idea what the conversation's like. And I just know, I know why, Springer turned his season around hitting fastballs. Vladdy turned his season around ready to hit the fastball. Athletic position, posture's right. Steep path, point of contact, consistently is in the same spot a lot of the times, allows the talent, which is oozing, to take over. And then there's everybody else in the lineup. It's just like it's that's the one little thing I think it's –
Do you think
there's a lot of voices in that room, boy, a lot.
Do you think the people in this front office – do you think they have enough courage to admit that what they're doing is wrong?
I don't think so. Are they to admit they would have fixed it already? Wouldn't you think?
Bevan Ottawa reached out on the text line. How does this team compete in 2025? There's no untouchables in this team, are there?
Vladdy, I think Vladdy out of that lineup. Would you watch that team?
Oh, I was
like,
I was thinking about
right
that
now. Thing. Vladdy is must watch. Yeah. He really is. Like,
they've got to have.
You got to have somebody that's putting fannies in the seats. No,
you've got to have
Clements and Jimenez. And
you've got to have a conversation. I wouldn't even wait to the offseason. I would have a serious conversation to try to get Vladdy signed this year for 5, 6, or 7 years.
It'll start with three.
And whatever, that's fine.
You ain't doing
it. Because they're, you know, the payroll they're running, they're going to be paying decent money. They're going to be paying decent money for players. I would have that discussion right now. Other than that, no. I mean,
I don't know why you'd trade any, Vladdy to go out and look for Vladdy.
Yeah. Other than that,
you already got Vladdy.
You know, I think you
just put help around him.
I think you've got to seriously look at moving Bo in the offseason. I don't think that comes as a shock to anybody anymore. And other than that, you can have basically anybody in this team. You know, if I can sign some free agent pitchers. I know, and again, I get back to this. I know ownership's gonna pony up. I know that I got money, so I can go out and sign some guys, even if I have to pay too much for them. I can go out and sign some pitchers. I can get another Gossman, another Bassett.
Get you
I did
a closer,
it before.
Maybe.
And a closer. Yeah. But other than that, you know, well, I'll just ask you, Kevin. What do you want to run back next year? Like, if it's me?
Varsho and center,
I'm okay.
Eighth or ninth.
Yep.
Vladdy at first?
God knows. One thing I do know, I got enough guys on the bench. Vladdy?
I would think Danny Jansen, just because you can't correct everything. And Danny's done enough offensively.
Yeah, but here's the thing with Danny Jansen. You have to give him a qualifying offer to get that compensatory pick as a free agent. What if Danny decides to stay?
I think
here?
With what's on the market and how hard it'll be to get a guy in here that knows your pitching staff the way Dan. I mean, you're going to bring back them three starting pitchers.
Well,
yeah,
unless
Bassett, Gosman, and Brios. Like, you're done unless Bassett's sort of been told he might be getting traded. You might have them three. You would like to have a catcher. Yeah. The Kirk thing for me, that's sailed. I can't.
Well,
it's a tough one, but it's going to be hard to go out and get veteran catchers who. You know, they're somewhat – they can't fix all the offensive woes. No. They're still going to be a run-preventing somewhat team, hopefully with a run producer in the middle of the order stuck with Vladdy. Maybe. Fingers crossed.
Curtis from Taber, Alberta.
I have a question for Kevin.
Good, I can leave.
If you were a free agent, give me two reasons or three reasons you would want to sign with the Toronto Blue Jays other than money, or is money the only important thing? Like, because to me, with the pitching staff the way it is and the way players are unable to maintain success, you got to wonder, and the way they booed Shohei Ohtani, you got to wonder how many free agents would actually want to come to Toronto, or is it all about money? And my second question is, do you think the Blue Jays' desperation makes them vulnerable to pay too much for players? Because everybody in the league knows they just put all that money in that stadium, and everybody in the league knows they better start competing really good. So if them dudes call, maybe give them the screws a little bit more.
All right.
Yeah, it's about money. Is that quick enough?
Yeah.
It's money.
Yeah, I think
Blue Jays pay me the most money, I come here. If they don't, I'll go somewhere else.
And it's got to be said that the Blue
it's
Jays...
The way it is. It's life. You've got a small window to make a ton of money.
The free agents of the Blue Jays have signed all of one thing in common. They all got more money and more years out of the Blue Jays than anybody else was giving them. I mean, that's just a fact. Nobody was giving George Springer that contract. Nobody was giving Kevin Gausman that contract. I go back to this. Nobody was giving Russ Martin that contract.
Mark Shapiro's been around too long, had the screws being put to him. That's not going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen. 13-0 was the final score today. Tomorrow, the Texas Rangers are in town. It's an Apple TV game, but Blair and Barker will be on from 4 to 6 to get you set for it. The game will be on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in head of St. Margaret's Bay and Hammond's Plains, Newfoundland. No, Nova Scotia, Jeff. Hammond's Plains, Nova Scotia. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.